Well, good morning. Welcome to Langenberg Evangelical Fellowship. Whether you're visiting with us this morning or whether you regularly call this your church home, we're just so glad that you chose to join us online today. I also want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there watching. Our call to worship for this morning is from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, please? Loving and eternal God, let us come before you this morning and praise your holy name. As we think about the beauty of your creation, the wonder of springtime and the new life that bursts forth from the earth, we are in awe of your creative power and your promise of the victory of life over the sting of death. We thank you for your provision for us, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to minister to us today as we worship. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. So before we do anything else, we'd like to play this video as a tribute to all the moms out there on this very unique Mother's Day. Let's open our sermon time with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you will open the hearts and minds of all who hear this message, that they might understand what you are speaking to us today. Father, I pray that you will help me to speak only your truth, and that you will guide my heart and guard my tongue as I speak from your pulpit. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Our scripture passage for today is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. That's Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to pause the recording so that we can you can get your Bible and we can read together. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. If you recall Pastor Dennis's wonderful message last week, you'll remember that one of the things he said is that all of us need to be watching for the signs of the times. We need to be ready for Christ's return because we don't know when he is coming. One of the signs he mentioned was the fact that the nation of Israel is back in existence today. Now, Pastor Dennis and I didn't coordinate our messages, but it's quite obvious to me that this church is being led by a God who does, in fact, coordinate the messages that he wants us to preach. Because I was already down the path of preaching about Ezekiel 37 and the Valley of Dry Bones, which is a perfect complement to Pastor Dennis's message from last week. But let's begin by understanding the context of what we are reading about. For the first several hundred years of Israel's history, after Moses had led them out of Egypt, the nation of Israel was ruled by judges. Eventually, and against God's desire, Israel demanded to be led by a king, just as other nations were. God granted Israel's desire, and a man named Saul became Israel's first king. For the next 100 years or so, Israel was ruled in a united kingdom through the reigns of Saul, David, and Solomon. However, after Solomon's reign ended, very early in the reign of his son Rehoboam, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. As a result of repeated disobedience to God, and as foretold by prophet after prophet, the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and taken captive by the Assyrians in 722 BC, while the southern kingdom of Judah lasted a little longer, finally being defeated and taken captive by the Babylonians in several conquests between 605 to 586 BC. Now, Ezekiel was a priest in Israel at the time of the dispersion to Babylon. And therefore, he spent a good part of his life ministering to the Jewish people who were captives in Babylon. Israel as a nation was no more. They had been destroyed by larger and more powerful empires. And if history shows us anything about conquered nations, it's that they were gone forever, never to be seen or heard from again. Nations that are annihilated or assimilated don't come back from the dead. So that is the context as Ezekiel receives the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones from God. Destroyed, dispersed, and dissolved into other nations, this thing called the diaspora had begun. That is, the Jews were scattered across the face of the earth as punishment for their rejection of God. The existence of Israel had drawn to a close. For the Jews, all hope was lost. You see, in Ezekiel's vision, the valley represents the chasm of nations into which Israel had been exiled. They were down and out, and it was going to be a tough climb, impossible actually, for them to get out of it. The dry bones, these dead skeletons, represented the Jewish people, as God said when he explained the prophecy to Ezekiel. Verse 9 said that they had been slain. They were a people who had been attacked and annihilated. The bones signify that they were utterly disgraced because it was a humiliating thing if the body of a dead Jew was not washed, prepared with spices, wrapped, and buried in dignity in a proper tomb or grave. Instead, these bodies would have suffered the utter shame of being carrion for vultures and animals. It was symbolic of the complete judgment of God, for God had warned them in Deuteronomy 28, verses 25 to 26, that if they rebelled against God, their carcasses would be food for all the birds and the wild animals. God's trying to make the point to Ezekiel that without a miraculous intervention, Israel as a nation was deader than dead. In fact, one source I found listed 109 locations around the world from which the Jews have been expelled between AD 250 and 1948. And it even lists the years of their expulsion. God's judgment was so complete that not only did they lose their own identity as a nation, but they really had no rest anywhere for 2,000 years. But then God asks Ezekiel a rather profound question. Can these bones live? Ezekiel gave a genius answer. Maybe he didn't know for sure, but he did know that God had the ability to do whatever God wanted to do. So Ezekiel answered, "O Lord God, you know." I wonder if God smiled at the brilliance of Ezekiel's response. Well played, Ezekiel. Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy to the dead bones. You know, sometimes I wonder why God didn't just command the bones to come to life himself. Why did he choose to do it through Ezekiel? I can only imagine the confidence that Ezekiel must have felt when he prophesied as he was commanded, and then the bones did as they were commanded. Now, the Bible doesn't say for sure why God used Ezekiel in this way, but I love the fact that God demonstrated his preference to work through people. I think that's a lesson we can all take from this passage of Scripture. Ezekiel spoke as God commanded, and all the bones found their places. As the kid's song goes, the toe bone's connected to the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone. Maybe not very biologically accurate, but so on and so on. Finally, they were covered in flesh and skin, but yet there was no life in them. They were technically still dead. These corpses are like Adam was in Genesis chapter 2, physically complete, but without life until he received the breath of God. I believe that's where history currently finds us. The nation of Israel was brought back from dispersion in May 1948. They are once again physically complete as a nation after 2,500 years of not even being in existence. But yet they're still waiting for the final piece of the prophecy to be completed. Because as a nation, they're still lacking the acceptance of Christ as their Messiah. But upon God's command to Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind, the breath of God entered into those dead bodies, and that army came to life. And one day, the breath of God in the person of the Holy Spirit is going to come over Israel when they finally recognize and embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But what significance does this passage of Scripture have for us today? The first thing that we need to take away from this is that God already knows how everything will turn out in every situation. When God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel gave a very wise answer. "O Lord God, you know." Of all the things Ezekiel could have said, he said the best thing he could. God only knows. In his book, God, the Bible, and You, evangelist R.A. Torrey performs an in-depth study that reinforces God's omniscience, his all-knowing attribute. Psalm 147:5 says that God's understanding is beyond measure. It's beyond measure. Psalm 147:4 says that God counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. And yet in Matthew 10:29, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So stars in their magnitude and sparrows in their insignificance are all known unto God. As Torrey says, God knows from all eternity what he will do for all eternity. Let me repeat that. God knows from all eternity what he will do for all eternity. Try getting your head wrapped around that. So from eternity past, God knew that he was going to create the world. He knew what was going to happen on that world from beginning to end. And he knew what the end of that world would look like and when it would happen. However, as mortal human beings, there is much that we don't know, especially about the timing of the end. In Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So don't bother trying to figure out a date on the calendar, and don't pay any attention to anyone who does. Instead, take Christ's advice that we are to be ready. Live like it could come at any moment, because you never know. Your moment may come sooner than you think. As he warned us in Matthew 24:42-44, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The second thing we need to take away from this is that God not only knows how everything will turn out, ultimately God is in control of every situation. Think about it. In the book of Ezekiel, God predicted 2,500 years in advance that Israel would become a nation again. And here they are. Through 2,500 years of exile, at least 109 expulsions, and a genocidal Holocaust less than 10 years before their flag was raised, God brought Israel back from the dead. In the book of Daniel, God predicted hundreds of years in advance that the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans would follow after the Babylonians. And today we find their ruins in the dust of history. And in the book of Genesis, and in the Psalms, and in Isaiah, God predicted that a Savior would come and die to save his people. And we saw that in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And those are just a small handful of the prophecies that God has fulfilled. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. If Jesus said that he is going to come again to judge the world, you can take it to the bank. He will. And the third thing that we need to take away from the vision of dry bones is that nothing is impossible for God. God took those dry bones and made them live. He took a nation that had been conquered and had disappeared for 2,500 years and placed them back into their own homeland and raised a flag above their heads. So when our own situation seems impossible, we need to remember who our God is. In Numbers 11:23, God says to a struggling Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. And in Luke 1:37, as the angel Gabriel is explaining the virgin birth to Mary, he says to her, for nothing will be impossible with God. And in Mark 10:27, Jesus is comparing a rich man entering heaven to a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. Questioned about the seeming impossibility of the situation, Jesus says, With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. I'm saying these things to you because I know that each of us has our own situations to deal with, and they can feel overwhelming, especially right now. But remember, God knows. He's in control, and nothing is impossible for him. Perhaps you're finding it hard to believe these things in your life right now. Maybe you feel that the world, and more specifically, your world, is in a state of chaos, and you just need to know that somebody does, in fact, know about your situation and does have things under control. I'd like to encourage you to reach out to our pastoral team here. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you and help you to know more about God. You can find our contact information at www.lefchurch.com. Why don't you reach out today? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word to us this morning, and we thank you for being in control. Lord, when our situations are difficult, the devil often comes along to try to get us to believe that you are unable to help us, and we become afraid. Help us, Father, to make the choice to listen to your word instead of the lies of the devil. Help us to remember your great strength and power. Help us to believe that you can take control of our situations and that, in fact, you are in control of our circumstances right now. For we believe in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please bow your heads with me as we lift our voices in prayer. O precious Heavenly Father, we are a blessed people because you are our God. You are the creator of all, and you are the master of all. In you we find our hope and our comfort. Father, we pray for the moms in our fellowship today, that you would bless them and give them peace in this unique and challenging environment that we find ourselves in this year. Whether they still have young children or whether their children are already grown, we know that moms never stop being moms. But Father, not everybody has had a great experience with motherhood for one reason or another. For some people, we know that this is a painful day. Would you please comfort those people and help them to know that they can find their sufficiency in you? Lord, we want to take a moment now in silence to bring our private concerns and confession before your throne. Father, we pray for our government leaders and for all people who are serving in one way or another during this time, especially our frontline workers and everybody providing essential services. We ask that you grant them wisdom and strength. We pray for our farmers as they are out planting the seed and preparing their fields. Lord, we ask that you would bless them with safety and keep them safe and give them a prosperous and bountiful harvest this year. Lord, we pray for wisdom and blessing as we gradually reopen our economies. We ask that you would help us to find hope in the return to normal life over the next few weeks and months, whatever that looks like. And while I pray this, I also pray for all those places who aren't yet able to reopen. Please help them to manage their situations with wisdom and faith. Father, we lift up our voices together in the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Lori to present an object lesson for the kids and the kids at heart.
Good morning, kids. A popular saying goes like this: don't miss the forest for the trees. It means that people overlook the bigger truth while focusing on a smaller one. They see the details, but they miss the main point. That's what can happen when it comes to evidence of the Creator's design in the universe. We can see that everything is designed. It's so obvious, but miss the important truth. Sure, the universe and life show much evidence of being designed. Eyes have incredible abilities. Stars require a powerful energy source. Flowers showcase marks of amazing handiwork. No one can look at our planet without seeing the brushstrokes of a genius mind at work. In fact, the Bible says every single one of us is without excuse if we deny that God is the Creator. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So that people are without excuse." But we can't stop there. The stars are declaring the glory of God for a reason. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." It isn't for us to merely gather facts about our Creator. The point is for us to know our Creator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we can know him because he reveals himself to us through his word, the Bible. From the Bible, we learn about the most amazing design of all, God's plan to save us. You see, God made the first two human beings to live in his perfect creation. Sadly, when they disobeyed him, death and suffering came into our world. But God wasn't done. He had a plan to send his Son to save us from the penalty of our sins by dying the death we deserved on the cross. God tells us in the Bible that we must repent and receive Jesus as our Savior to get this gift, eternal life, with Jesus in heaven, rather than eternal punishment in hell. Now that's a master plan worth seeing. So here are a couple of examples of some amazing eyes that God designed. First of all, the colossal squid. Colossal means big. And this mysterious giant of the ocean doesn't disappoint. It's longer than a school bus. What about its eyes? Well, they're the size of dinner plates, the big ones you use for special meals. That makes them the eye-sized champion of the world. Then there's the four-eyed fish. Four eyes is usually not a nice name to call someone. But with this fish, it's true. These slippery swimmers have their eyes split into two parts. One part pokes out of the water to spy juicy bugs. The other part stays under the water to watch for danger, and on both sides. And then there's your eyes. Last, but certainly not least, look in the mirror. God created all sorts of eyes for all sorts of animals. And he created human eyes too. Your eyes can shift from near to far. They can move around quickly as you're following a football while you run. And you can see millions of colors. All in the blink of an eye. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making the world and everything in it. Thank you for making us too and giving us the amazing gift of being able to see everything around us. Help us to always be grateful for what we have. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Buddy Davis again from Answers in Genesis for this family devotional. Bye for now, kids.
Thank you, Lori. As far as announcements go, I actually have a real announcement this week, so you need to sit up and pay attention. Donna is looking into a new Bible study for the ladies to do after their current study is complete, so please reach out to Donna if you are interested in finding out more or taking part. And that's for the ladies. And if you aren't a lady, then you are welcome to join an army of men for breakfast and Bible study on Saturday morning. Just know that you have to make your own breakfast by yourself. But with the magic of Zoom, at least you don't have to eat it by yourself. We can all watch you eat it. And if you haven't attended before, just give Pastor Dennis an email. Finally, just a reminder that although we aren't meeting together in this building, we still do have ongoing expenses that we need to take care of. And so if you regularly attend this church and would like to make an offering, you can do so by mailing a check to the church or by e-transfer. There's going to be a slide on the screen at the end of the service with some details and instructions for how you can go about doing that. So receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May Christ's peace be with you this day and through this week. Amen. Go in peace and happy Mother's Day.